So Matt did ask me to bring the word today, and I'm super excited. I tell myself, you're not nervous. I always have notes. Tim asked me this morning, are you ready? I said, oh, no. But my life is ready, and I feel like God's asking me to be very vulnerable and, again, just step up and bring the word through the lens of living it. So, Father, would you just continue? You've already been in this service. You're here. But I'm acknowledging that you can take my few words and make them many. You can have your word land on everyone's heart and bring comfort, bring encouragement, bring challenge, bring change. Holy Spirit, you're the one that leads us, guides us, teaches us, and shows us things to come. So we invite you to come have fun with us and help. In Jesus' name. If you'll take just a moment and close your eyes, this is, you get to participate. I'm not going to make anybody raise their hand or get up here. But if you'll close your eyes just for a minute, I have an exercise for you. I want you to think about the last 6 months of your life. The last 6 months. If you were writing a chapter in a book, what would the title of this chapter of the last 6 months be? Is it frustrated? Is it stressed? Is it quiet? Is it lonely? What would the title of that chapter be? You don't have to tell anybody, but keep that. Let Holy Spirit talk to you through this. I feel like the Lord said, would you share with them how I've been sharing with you how to locate the season you're in? What happens is if we don't recognize a season we're in and we take the standard and measure from a different season and bring it to our current season, we get frustrated. We fail. We wonder what in the world is going on. So obedience in a season of dreaming or something's hard or you kind of feel like you're going this way, but you're like, God, I thought you were in this. Where are you? There was a season in Tim's in my life that he asked us to leave where we were pastoring full time and go to another church and help them. It was a bigger church and they really needed some help. And no joke, the week before we went, YWAM was traveling through this little town in Montana and came and ministered at our church, and the leader had a prophetic word for Tim and I. Where you're going, there will be static. But don't be afraid. God's doing something. And we got there. You know, it's like, okay, static. You know, you touch somebody. Well, we got there, and a few months into it, it was more like electrocution. And I thought, God, that's just like you. You know, you say something, and I think it means this, and it's like this. It's ginormous. But I thought, don't hold on to that because God's doing something. Don't throw the whole season because you don't like part of it or you don't understand. God, I know you called us. Where are you? I ask him, where are you in this? Why don't I see you? Because I know he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. So if you're believing a lie that he's abandoned you, it's a lie. Get over it. Say, God, you said you wouldn't leave me. It feels like you've left me, so what am I not seeing? Where are you? How can I join you and get up off my rear end and move through to get to what you have for me? Where am I stuck in this season? It's really interesting how in John 6, I'm going to turn there. This is where Jesus feeds the 5,000 with 5 loaves, 2 fish. But it's interesting because I'm thinking, do you guys, when you read the word, do you put yourself in the story? Like if I was one of the disciples. This is how I read the word. If I was one of them, what would I be feeling about now? And somehow, the Lord will speak to me in that. And I just randomly, for a season, idea. John 6, verse 15. So leading up to it, he just fed them. Miraculous, amazing. Can you imagine? You're part of that group. What's everybody saying? Have you ever seen that? Can you believe this? The buzz. But it's interesting because this is how what happens next. Therefore, when Jesus perceived they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. All right, so an amazing thing has just happened, right? Big buzz, the biggest thing you've ever seen happen. And Jesus perceives something else is going to happen, so he discerns the season and pulls away. Okay, but we're the disciples. What are we thinking? What's happening? That was the most awesome thing ever. Where did Jesus go? You know, because they're not discerning that. So then we go on, and it says, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. I'm thinking, maybe he's down there. Okay, will you give me a little grace here? I'm reading it, Beth, into the story. You can join me or you can critique me, either way. But I'm going to have fun. So his disciples went down to the sea. They got into the boat and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was already dark and Jesus had not come to them. So, you know, they're just kind of like us. Well, don't know where Jesus is, but we'll either find him or we'll find a place to rest tonight. Let's keep moving until he reveals himself, okay? Oh, then the sea, man, it arose, became a great wind. A great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. All right, so I'm like, okay, it's night, you're in a boat, you're fishermen, but it's a storm that makes you afraid. Now Jesus walking on water, he's coming to you, now you're really afraid. The whole food thing was fun. This storm, this pressure, we might lose our life, I don't like this, is not fun. And they're afraid. Then they willingly received him into the boat. And immediately, the boat was at the land where they were going. So let's say there was a little panic, a little pressure. How about your season? Is there a little panic? Is there a little pressure? Is there a storm? They willingly received him. What happens when we're in the midst of a season that's not only not going right, it's going south, it's bad? God, how do I receive you into this? Even if I got crooked, even if I got off, if I took a right and you told me to go left, how do I invite you in? Now, I don't have yet, where I immediately had the solution by inviting him in, but I see it's possible. So if you're in a situation, you can ask for an immediate. But he's God, and I'm not. I just want to willingly invite him in because he can redirect. I think in seasons of discomfort, if your title was discomfort, can I ask you, does God seem distant? Has it been a long time since you've heard his voice? Are you in a season that you'd say, God's not speaking? I want to invite you. I can only go off of what I know from my own life and people's lives I've sat with in 40 years of ministry. But a lot of times, a reason God would be silent is because you haven't obeyed the last thing he asked you to do. Not always. I'm not saying always. Sometimes silence is producing us waiting and roots going deeper, and our faith is all we hold on to. But there are the frustrating times, the agitated waiting, discomfort. I want to suggest that it could be, has been in my life, where God has asked me to go back to do the last thing he asked me to do that I blew past or said, that's not necessary. And that can be forgiveness. That can be he asked you to give something, or he asked you to let go of a job and do something else. I just know that there's a reason Scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And if we need to know something, we need to go to the author that knows what we need, right? So if I'm perishing in a way that's not, I'm not talking about denying my flesh, I'm not talking about that, I'm talking about literal seeing things perish that shouldn't. God has a solution, but you have to ask him. And you get to invite him in. You know, I think we quote a lot Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, about trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Don't lean on your... Ask him about everything and he'll direct your path. He will do that. But have you ever not wanted to ask him because you didn't want to hear what he said? Usually I already knew what he was going to say. If there could be any other way than giving that amount. If there could be any other way than going back and asking that person to forgive me. But I really feel like in that Great Falls situation that I was telling you about electrocution, it ended up ending abruptly after 3.5 years, and it was very painful. There were some really broken relationships. It was in ministry. It was monumental for Tim and Beth Johnson and our 3 kids. It changed the direction of our life. God asked us every month for a whole year to have that be reconciled. And the other party refused. And we got supervisors involved. I didn't want to. I'm being very honest. I did not want to ever contact them. What was done was not good. But God said, it's time to reach out. Try again. And it would be either Tim or I. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. Or he'd say, Beth, we, you know. For a whole year, we were in a season of being faithful to do what God asked us to do when people refused. God was building something in us. If there is unforgiveness, if there is broken relationships, I promise it will affect the season you're in. Now, as far as it depends on you, you do everything you can. But when there becomes places that are broken and there's offense, do you guys know that the enemy wants you to live offended? Because if you won't forgive, and if you are offended, the Bible says it's an open door for the enemy to have permission into your life. The principles that are taught in the Bible say, how about this? Remember we kind of glazed over that, depart from me, I never knew you? We're going to do that with another one. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Is that true? Then who haven't you forgiven? And why? I'm not saying that flippant. It costs something to live like that. People do horrible, horrific things. Lost people, broken people, Christian people. It costs Jesus his life. I hope it doesn't cost me my life. But what are you willing to pay to honor him? You forgive. You know, I think as a believer, sometimes we don't look at the uncomfortable scriptures because there's the cross. Well, yeah, there's the cross. But Jesus was saying, if I don't forgive, I won't be forgiven. I think he meant it. But if you're in a hard season because you've carried woundedness and unforgiveness, keeping records of wrong, and you're wondering why you're not flourishing, would you just invite Jesus into that situation, willingly receive him? Whatever he asks of me or you is for our benefit. And you know what I've learned is we can do hard things. Probably one of the biggest things that keep people stuck is, Beth, it's so hard. Beth, it's so hard. I know it's hard. I think Jesus would say that about the cross. Yeah, it's hard. But it's not too hard. The Bible says nothing is too hard for God. And if I'm going to willingly join with him, then this isn't going to be too hard. Is it going to be hard? Yes. Another coffee shop story. We had lots of messes with the floor and all of this. So we'd say, well, how do we fix that? How do we fix that? And then we finally put lots of time, had friends help us, and the finish failed. And I called the company and they said, "Oh, you must have done this." I said, "No, I actually followed the directions. I sometimes improve, edit directions. It's not always an improve. I think it's going to be." But I followed these because I didn't know what I was doing. We had acid stained and we had put the sealant on, and it was a mess, you guys. And all I could think of is all the time, all the money, all the heartache, because a lot of things had gone wrong. And so I get the expert on the phone. He goes, "You're going to have to strip it all off." I said, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah. But if, you know," and he gave me all these scenarios, and I thought, ooh. And meanwhile, Tim hurt his back, and he was flat on his back. He couldn't move. And so I found out that the way he had to strip this off was one of those really big machines. And my friend Scott Couch sends me a video of how people would throw it through walls because they're so big and heavy and you can't, you know. All I'm saying is it's not something I would pick to do. And Tim is, "I'm so sorry, Beth, I can't." I said, "It's all right." Clearly, I heard the Lord say, "Beth, you can do hard things." I said, "I can do hard things." And so I go rent this machine. And maybe you've done it, but it's one of those big buffer, sander, floor things. I can't even lift it. But you turn it on, and it's going to take you places that you don't want to go. And 4 hours, I kept saying, "I can do hard things. I can do hard things." And then it wouldn't work for me. I'd say, "Jesus, you said I could do hard things. You need to make this machine work. You got to help me, you know." But I got done, and right towards the end, I had zero strength left in my arms or my legs. I'm wimpy, I guess. I don't know. But I had one spot over there that I wanted to get. I couldn't. I was like, my hard is all gone. The hard. Psh. So what I'm saying is I think so often we let thoughts come and tell us what we can do instead of us telling our thoughts what we can do, because God said this. God said I can do this. God said I can do this. So I just want you to know that the thing about spiritual growth in any season, if we're talking growth, if you're talking human growth, and somebody was just born and then you see them in a month and you see them in 3 months, physical growth is measured through time. Would you agree? That's a measurement. Intellectual growth is through information. Let's do it with kids again. You teach them ABCs, you teach them 1, 2, 3s. You teach them all those animal sounds. When has that ever come in handy?
No.
I don't understand. Anyway, but so sorry. I haven't had much sleep lately. But so here we have a measurement for physical growth, intellectual growth. What's a measurement of spiritual growth? I want to suggest obedience. If you love me, do what I say, is what Jesus said. I'm not asking you to do what I say. Jesus says, if you love me, do what I say. So how's in that season, God, what do you want to adjust in me to get the most out of this season on the way to where we're going? One of the most quoted scriptures, it's in so many cards, is Jeremiah 29:11. And I love it. It's true. It's who God is. I know the plans I have for you. They're plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. But when you're stuck in a season of misery and uncomfortableness, you don't have hope. You can't see a future. But I'm telling you, God promises this is what I have for you. So this is temporary. And if you're stuck in the wrong spot, get in the right spot so you can get through it faster into the next season. Because everything about, there's tons of scriptures that talk about seasons, but I knew you guys got it. I didn't, but it's, whether it's, you know, the seasons of change, far as spring and summer and fall and winter, or if it's day and night, there's just always a time and a season for everything. But I just feel like God is preparing every one of us, just like he did Jesus, in the everyday, ordinary, average tasks at hand. He went to work, and he was being groomed for spiritual greatness. But if we're waiting for spiritual greatness to be what we do, we'll never attain that. Because what I see is God prepares us spiritually in any season while we are doing our everyday roles. And when we show up fully engaged and in faith, I get to go to work. I get to do this. God, what is your purpose in this season of my life? Then what happens is you're looking with eyes of faith. You're looking with hope. You're looking with a heart that says, what can we do, God? I really believe there's so many things that we miss out on because we're not asking him what he'd like to change. What do you want to adjust? What would you like to do? I feel like sometimes, too, I'll have a season where I don't want responsibility. I don't want a vision. I don't want to have to carry anything off. That tells me I'm tired. And it's usually not a season. It's usually a half a day or it's something like that. And I just need to be myself and not say anything. But if you go through periods of time like that, then I would want to say, would you say, God, I don't have a vision for my everyday life? Like you said, there's a time to work, there's a time to plant, there's a time to harvest. That's every laboring man and woman, we have a role to play. But would you give me vision for this season in that? You said, if I called upon you in Jeremiah 33:3, call upon you and you'll answer me. You'll not only answer, you'll show me things. You know, my mom passed away when she was only 62, which is my age, and I think it's way too young. I can't even imagine that I would be at the end of my race. But she so loved God. But it was a miracle that I sat down the day after she passed away, and I had her Bible, and she had notes everywhere in her Bible. It was like spending time with her and getting a view of her time with Jesus. But I happened to see what she wrote on 11/11/97. It was 27 years ago that she passed away. That was the day she went on to be with the Lord. And it was Jeremiah 33:3. I started crying. I said, God, did you have to show her heaven? It says you'll show her great and mighty things she doesn't know. She didn't know that. Did you have to show her that? But I thought, how often do we not ask for great and mighty things? Because we get so me-focused. We get so stuck-focused. And I feel like the Lord is saying, would you let me help identify your season, and could we clean it up a little bit? Could we make it purposeful? I know people who are stuck in a season of regret, and they take a portion of that season into every area of their life. They regret things they said, things they did, what they didn't do, what didn't happen, what did happen. And I feel like when you give so much bandwidth in a season for regret, you don't have room for dreaming and faith and fresh oil from the Lord. And it just doesn't fit. You know, I look at Lot's wife. Look how it worked out for her. That's not just looking back and remembering. That's longing for something that's gone. And I'll tell you, longing for something that's not yours or shouldn't be will totally destroy where you're at now. And we've all experienced that, I think, to a little bit. And so it's important to say, Lord, where are you and what do you want to do in my season? So I think the most important thing is the Lord had been saying, Beth, please identify the season you're in. Because if you're in a new season or a different season and you don't know how to navigate it, you cannot put yourself under, like I said at the beginning, a template of a season that you breezed through or that you were really good at. Or, you know, I remember starting new jobs because God would say, this is your new season. I want you to go work at this financial firm and help people with their retirement. And I'm like, what? And I knew it was the Lord. But I literally, you guys, the first few days of that job, first few weeks, not days, the Lord just corrected me, first few weeks, I had tons of sticky notes. And these people were telling me words I had no idea what they were. I didn't. And then I'd have a break and I'd look at them in the financial handbook. Aren't you glad you didn't bring your money to me in that time? I wasn't in charge of that part. But what I'm saying is I could have missed that by not knowing, but God said, I want you in this season. And so the uncomfortableness, I don't know how to do this. If you ask me to bake cookies, I can do that. But if you ask me to do, but I kept going through the season and I'd look up those words. Oh, that's what that means. Huh, okay. Better keep that sticky note there until I've memorized that. Now, how does that fit into that sentence, you know? But if you're willing to let God lead you, he'll take you where you never would go on your own. And I feel like that's what he has asked of all of us. And he said, hey, will you let me steward your seasons with you? There are parts of my life, of your life, God will never change or touch because it's fully under your control. And there are parts of your life and seasons that you can't do anything about, and he fully will do them if you position yourself to give him permission to do that. So I do think, if you don't mind, I would just like to close with asking God, what do you want to change? What do I need to let go of? Who do I need to forgive? Where do I need to go back to what you asked me to do and I've ignored it and I need to repent and go back and do that to bring freedom into where you're at? Because I just know that life is too precious for us not to take the time to say, God, it's in you that I want to live and move and have my being. I want everything to filter through. What do you say about that, Lord? I'll get in the kitchen. Hey, I'm going to bake this. In fact, if Candy, she had asked me if I had made, I don't mean to call her out, but cranberry orange muffins. I thought, no, I've never done that. So I go back in the kitchen. God, how do you make cranberry orange muffins? Now, most of you look up recipes, right? But I thought, what if God has a recipe that nobody's done? Well, I've made them 3 times now. But what I'm saying is, what happens when you invite in a childlike way, but a desperate, you're my life, and I'm clinging to you because apart from you, I can do nothing? What if all of us in here just recentered ourselves with Jesus that way? How much would our lives, our families, our finances, and our future change? That if we'd say, help me know where I'm at, help me know what you want me to do about it, and give me a future and a hope that I can't wait to get there, so I'm not going to get delayed or stuck by being tied up with things of the enemy, lies, right? Don't we want to be victorious? Don't we want to live so radical that people say, the only explanation is Jesus? That's what we're supposed to be. That's the invitation today. So Father, we bring our 6 months, how we started this. What would the title of that chapter be in our season? And we give you permission to redirect us, to correct us. We ask for forgiveness where we've ignored you or disobeyed you. Holy Spirit, you said we don't even know our own hearts. Sometimes I don't know why I'm stuck. So I ask that you search every heart within my voice, even online, that you would search the hearts of people and show them where you are and what you're doing and how you are inviting them. When they willingly receive you, you can take them places at speeds they could never go without you, just like they did in the boat. They willingly received you, Jesus. We willingly receive you right now. If there's anybody here under the sound of my voice that has walked away from God, has been so disenchanted, has been angry, I just tell you, he's saying, come home. Come home, come running to me. It's not too late. We acknowledge that you are the King of Glory. You're not just a puppy we have. Oh, how nice is God? You are holy. You are righteous. You are a God of justice, and yet you're a God of mercy. And you say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You will give us forgiveness. You will give us direction. And we want to say thank you that we have a million chances to get it right in this one precious life each and every one of us have. So create in every one of us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Help us discern the season. And if any one of us want to change the title of this season, help us change it to reflect what you're saying over our season. We trust you for the supernatural help. We'll do the natural part. And we want to say thank you. We love you. We love your word. We love that you put us in a body. God, we thank you that we can confidently say this Sunday, you began a good work in each and every one of us, and you will complete and perfect it. In Jesus' name, amen.